Well, let's take our Bibles and we're going to turn to Colossians. Colossians chapter 2. Appreciate you being here this morning. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, verse number 6. Appreciate you being here. This is kind of when we recognize Thanksgiving. And with Thanksgiving coming up, can you imagine? Oh, my soul. Thanksgiving is this week. Get your turkeys ready. Amen. Colossians chapter 2, verse number 6. Appreciate all our visitors being here today. Thank you so much. If you don't have a place you regularly attend, I hope you'll come back and see us again. I really do. I think we have a good bunch of folks here, and we want to be a blessing to you. Colossians chapter 2, verse number 6. Our theme this year has been always abounding, as you can see. And I've been kind of saving this one here. Established in the faith, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Established in the faith and abounding therein with thanksgiving. Let's read here, beginning verse number 6. It says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. It says you're saved. You've got everything that we get when we get saved. We've got all kinds of things. The Lord gives a whole package. You know, there's a whole bundle of blessings there. It says, so walk ye in him. Don't live the same old life. You don't have to live the same old loser life, if you will. You don't have to have the same issues. You don't have to have the same, all the same problems. You don't have to. Now we may have problems. Don't get me wrong. But we won't be bringing a lot of them on ourselves with our own sin. He says, watch. He says, verse 6, it says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. How? Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Now watch, he gives a couple of words. He says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him, watch me, in him, not anybody else, not the rest of the world, not in some vain philosophy, not in Oprah, not in Dr. Phil, not in The View, not in The Talk, not in all these things. You got to be careful. It says, listen, in him, in Jesus Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete. Let me say it again. Ye are complete in him. You have everything you need. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. You say, well, I'm complete in him. What big deal is that? He's top dog. God made all principalities and powers. Anything that's going on in the world, God has the power to change what's going on. God is in control of the whole works. And watch, in him, in whom also ye are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of the Christ. I'm going to go through all that with you today, but because that's going to take me down a rabbit trail I don't want to go. But he's talking about the fact that it changes your heart, makes us a new creation in Christ. It cleans us up. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened, made alive together with him, having forgiven you all your trespasses. All your trespasses. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. We're going to take some time and look about this a little bit here this morning. We are going to take time this morning to observe the Lord's Supper, and we always do that during Thanksgiving, because if you have nothing else to get to be thankful for, there's one thing. You always be thankful. And if you're, and I'll say this now, if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're welcome to take communion with us, okay? So if you're not, if you don't want to be a member of the church, but if you know, we're all part of the, we're all going to be in glory together. If you know Christ your Savior, we're all going to be in glory together. We might as well get used to it. So if you would like to partake with us, you know, you, the Bible says you're supposed to search your own heart, make sure you're worthy, but not that where anybody is worthy. Is more being confessed up. And but we'd be glad to have you join us with that. Let's have a word of prayer. And we're going to talk about abounding therein with thanksgiving. Abounding therein with thanksgiving. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the way you teach us these things. You said to go in the world and preach the gospel to every creature and baptize them in the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost like we did here this morning. And thank you for these young folks here and the families with us. And but Lord, you also said to teach us all things whatsoever you have commanded us, to observe all things. And Lord, that's what we do here much on Sunday morning. And Lord, we want to see some things here and want to see, help us to understand what we have in you, what we have in Christ. And we can abound with thanksgiving. So Lord, I want to be a blessing. I ask for your Holy Spirit to move. Please use us. Be above all principalities and powers. And speak to our hearts here. And we'll give you the praise for it in Christ's name. Amen. Many people are miserable. They mope around as if the world has come to an end. Many will say they have nothing to be thankful for. Most times, I think these people are somewhat short-sighted. All they can see is what is directly in front of them at the moment. If their situation is not great at the moment, then it is as if life is a failure and they are a failure, and they go into depression, all kinds of things. I saw in the news yesterday that the 10th leading cause of death in America is suicide. Someone who is that depressed sees no hope. By the way, there's hope. I want to help you see that a little bit. There is more to life than what we can see at the moment. There is more to life than what is than what this life brings to the table. 1 Corinthians 15:19 says this: if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Now listen, it can get pretty rough down here. But you realize this 70 years we have on this earth is just a moment. It is just a moment in time to prepare for eternity. And it is just a moment in time that we might have to go through. And the fact is, the Lord never leaves us nor forsakes us. I tell you what does happen, sometimes we forsake Him. He says, follow me. But we don't. He says, come unto me all ye that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. But we don't. God's promises are all true. The problem is we want His promises on our conditions, on our terms. And the fact is, all the things He asks us to do, in fact, in Deuteronomy, says, I ask you, this law is for thy good. Not, listen, he gets more of a blessing seeing us being blessed, but it's really for our good. Let me say this. Grateful people are happy people. You say, well, they're happy because they have something to be grateful for. I know some people who don't really have a whole lot, and yet they're grateful for what they have, and grateful people are happy people. Many people will say, I would be grateful if I had something to be grateful for. Well, what you're saying is that you have absolutely nothing, including air to breathe and blood in your veins. What you're really saying is that I will not be grateful until I have what I want. What I want may be what others have that I think is valuable. I don't have what others have, so how can I be grateful? Unless I have more than some others have, I am on the short end of the stick, low man the totem pole, and thus I have a right to be ungrateful. You see where we're coming from here? I remember my dad reminiscing about the day they brought the electric line into the farm. They were putting up poles, and they brought the line in there and hooked up the house. Finally, they were going to have electric. The thing is, they didn't mope around because they didn't have electric. That's the way they grew up. They weren't ungrateful because they didn't have electric. They were grateful when the electric showed up. My mom has told the story about when they got their first refrigerator when she was growing up down at the farm. And by the way, they used that thing until her mother died. I mean, it was a long time. One of those old, what were they called? It was a Frigidaire. There you go. That's right. Little fridge. I've seen them all over the place. They just last and last and last and last. Her little brother, my Uncle Charlie, he's 70-some years old now. He was all excited because they were going to have ice cubes for dinner. This is great stuff. We're going to have ice cubes for dinner. My grandmother, her mother, used a wood cook stove to heat the house to cook on until she passed away. And that was what? That was, now it's been 1990. I mean, you walk in, Christmas time, whenever time I smell smoke, I think of my grandmother's. Because we would walk in on Christmas Day at my grandmother's place, and she'd have that thing going full force, and the place was foggy. I mean, it was, but it was Christmas because grandma had the stove in full force, and she had everything going on there. It just smells like Christmas. You smell all the smoke in there, the haze, it burned your eyes, you know. I'm not surprised we all have lung cancer. But he was grateful. My wife. Now, I know she's only 29. They laughed, I'm sorry. That they did not have indoor plumbing until she was 5 years old. At that point, they no longer needed that little building in the back with two holes. A big hole in a tall seat and a little hole on a low seat there. But didn't think about it. Let me give you some thoughts here this morning. How can we be poor? And we used to use this term poor mouthing. You ever hear that term, poor mouth? Well, I don't have anything. Well, it's just awful. I don't have anything. How can we be poor when we have the creator of the universe to walk through life with us? That's all Daniel Boone had. Out there in the middle of nowhere. Apparently somebody built a house within a mile of his house. He said, I got to move further out. It's getting too busy around here. So they say. Colossians 2:6 says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Well, my first question has to be this. Have you received Jesus Christ the Lord? Do you know for sure if you die today, you go to heaven? I mean, without a shadow of a doubt. My dad used to say before he got saved, well, how can anybody be so arrogant to think they know they're going to heaven? Well, that's just the point. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. For by grace are you saved, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. When Jesus Christ died, we heard it in the choir song here. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. And the wages of our sin is death, but the gift of God, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. What did he do? He died on the cross for our sins. Every single one, every drop of blood was his life leaving him, and his life was being given, and the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. Father, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? All of our sins was on him. He was separated from God. He took our sins. He paid for them. In fact, when he got all done, he says, it is finished. And it was. It was finished. And rose again to prove it was all paid for. It's a gift. Are you willing to receive it? God has not left you out. No one, especially in this room, is going to be able to stand before God and say, God, why did you send me to hell? Why are you sending me to hell? This is not fair. He's going to say, well, Pastor Walsh told you that I died and paid for your sins. It's like the guy, the flood was coming, and he got all pious. Well, the Lord's going to take care of me. And so he's in the house there, and after a while, the policeman comes by and says, you're going to have to get out, you're going to have to get out. No, the Lord's going to take care of me. A little while later, Woodard got up, and a boat comes up to his front door. Come on, get in here, the flood's coming. He says, no, the Lord's going to take care of me. I'll be just fine. Well, a few hours later, the water came up. He's on his roof. The helicopter comes along, and they said, grab a hold of the rope. We've got to get you out of here. Oh, no, no. The Lord's going to take care of me. And he drowned. And he gets up there, and he says, Lord, why did you let me drown? I told everybody that you were going to take care of me. Well, I sent a man by your door and then a boat and a helicopter. What more did you want? I see, the fact is, we want to make this difficult. God has provided life for us. We should take it. We should take it. He says, now listen. He says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord. This is important because that kind of follows this whole passage here. So walk ye in him. That word walk means to tread the way through life. You've got Jesus Christ. Do you realize you're not bothering him when you pray? It's no sweat off his back. Listen, if he can speak the word and say, let there be light, and there's light, there's no problem. If he can speak the word and there was grass and green and the sun and the moon and that little need that we have, no big deal. You're not bothering. In fact, without faith, it's impossible to please him. You must believe that he is. He's a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. You've got him. You need to walk through. It says, as we walk through life, we don't have to have worry. Now, I'm not saying things won't happen. But the Lord's there. Watch. Well, we got Jesus. The Bible says, if he dwelleth not in you, you're none of his. The Holy Spirit comes in and lives inside. When you got Jesus, you got God. Think about that. That didn't mean you became God. No, you have God living inside you. When you got saved, you got God. And watch me. When we got Jesus, we got a friend that sticks closer than a brother. When we got Jesus, we got eternal life. When we got Jesus, we got a mansion in glory. When we got Jesus, we got life and life more abundantly. When we got Jesus, we got hope. When we got Jesus, we got all things that pertain to life and godliness. When we got Jesus, we got great and precious promises. When we got Jesus, we got the one who has promised to provide all our needs according to his riches and glory. The problem is not whether we got Jesus, but whether Jesus got us. We can have him in our heart, and we're living. We have eternal life. We're going home to glory. But the fact is, now he wants us. We want to walk in him. I'll give you that illustration. When you put a dry sponge in water, is the sponge in the water, or is the water in the sponge? Both. And that's the way we need to do. Baptized. You're going to see that in a second. Baptized into him. We need to be immersed in him. We're in him, but let him be in us. Inside and out. I'm going to give you another thought here. So first of all, how can we be poor when we have the creator of the universe living through us? Number two, how can we not be grateful? Well, let me back up. How can we be grateful until we know what we have? See, that's the problem. A lot of folks don't know what you have, and that's why we're not grateful. Now, I had a big old Chrysler that I was driving and got a lot of miles on. I turned it in, and I'm driving a Hyundai, but the fact is it's got more bells and whistles than the Chrysler did. And the fact is it's got bells and whistles. I don't even know what they do. I've still got some buttons and some menus I haven't figured out. There's stuff on there for me to be grateful for, and I don't even know what they are yet. You see what I'm saying? And this book is full of promises that we can be grateful for, but we don't realize it because we don't have it. Watch. He says, look in verse 6, as ye therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Verse 7, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as ye have been taught. He says rooted, stabilized. Drawing nourishment in the faith. See, a lot of folks, listen, I'm all for praising the Lord. We should praise the Lord. But I'll be honest with you, a lot of that it should be individual as well as corporate. When we get together, we're supposed to stand up and give the Word of God. Why? Because the Word of God is a basis on what we live, how we live, how we're going to walk in Him if we don't know where He's walking. We're supposed to be rooted and grounded. That's why I spend so much time in the Bible. That's why we spend much time in Scripture. Because I want you to know that Scripture as well as anybody else. Listen, we don't have to be as some denominations where the pastor stands up here and pontificates to all the peons. Then you come and confess your sins to me, and I'll absolve them. And that's not in the book. Now, try me mean, that's not in the book. You can have a walk with God that's real. You go back to 1 Samuel, you know Hannah, who wanted to have a baby, and she ended up having Samuel. Well, she shows up there at the tabernacle, and Eli didn't know what to think about, because Hannah, just a regular housewife. And he's down at the altar. She's praying. And her mouth is moving. He said, she must be drunk. I don't know what in the world she's doing. He didn't even recognize prayer when he saw it. And some of us don't recognize what a real walk with God is. Go ahead. God loves you. God wants to hear you. Listen, be careful for nothing but in all things by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known, and the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. We ought to be rooted, it says, and built up. That means having a firm foundation. Why is it that as soon as something goes bad, we forget the blessings that we have, and all we can do is focus on the problem? That's because we don't have a very good foundation. The wind came along and tossed us about, blew us off what little foundation we had. Some people don't have any more foundation than a little outhouse I was talking about a little while ago. Threw a couple stones down there and put an outhouse on that thing, and there we go. No, root it, put it way down. Dig the footer, get it down below the frost line. So when it gets cold and it gets pushing, it's not going to go anywhere. You build, you go down, you hit rock if you can, and build from there on up. He says you're supposed to be rooted, drawing nourishment, grounded, built up in Him. Watch, established, confirmed, and thus stable in the faith as ye have been taught. If you let yourself get taught. I still encourage you to be here for Sunday school. Well, we get church on Sunday morning. Well, you get double dose. Listen, we can build this thing a little deeper. We can have a little deeper thought. We can have a little deeper foundation. So it says, listen, as you've received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. How? Rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith as ye have been taught. Number three. We should all be very grateful that we can walk through life with full assurance that the Lord is with us. He says, watch, rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Every Christian has plenty of reason to always be thankful. Thankful people are not discouraged people. Thankful people are not angry people. Thankful people are not hopeless people. Often we're not thankful for what we have because we don't know and recognize what we have. And the world tries to convince us that Jesus is no great prize. Well, maybe He's not. I didn't see Him do anything real recently. How close have been walking to where He is? Well, I think I'm pretty good. Well, have you compared it to the book? Colossians 2:8, our passage here, the next verse says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. You know what it means to spoil? You know how you got the Vikings come into town, and they come in there, and they burn everything down, take everything that's good, and take it with them? That's the spoil. They're taking the goodie. They're stealing what belongs to those people. What's rightfully theirs, they're taking and running away with. And he says, listen, there's a thankful heart that we should all be able to have, and don't let the world steal it from you. They've talked us, out of being thankful. They've talked us out of faith in Christ. They've talked us out of the precious promises, and we live as if none of those things are real. The world has stolen the goody. He says, beware lest any man spoil you through some philosophy, some vain deceit, some lie, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world. This is how you do it. Well, this is how we've always done it. Listen, I don't care how you've always done it. Does it go along with the book? I grew up in a denomination that had lots of traditions, and traditions are fine. There's nothing wrong with that, with tradition. But when tradition becomes more important than the Word of God, we're in trouble. We're in big trouble. And it won't be long till you'll lose the joy because you've gone away from the joy giver. The world tries to convince us that the philosophy of the world, its traditions, its vanity, is the real treasure in this life. And the world tries to convince us that the trinkets that it offers are the real prize. And if I don't have the trinkets, then I don't have anything to be thankful for. What do you mean? You receive Jesus Christ. Number four, when we receive Jesus as our Savior and He set up shop in our hearts, we got all the fullness of the Godhead in us. Verse 9, for in Him dwelleth, that means to house permanently, to take up residence, for in Him dwelleth all the fullness, the completeness of the Godhead bodily, the divinity, the deity, the supreme authority of the universe. 1 John 4:4 says this, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God, and he that knoweth God heareth us, and he that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Are they trying to push God out of your life or trying to draw you toward Him? There's your answer. Well, they're really nice people. Are they leading you toward the things of God or away from the things of God? I know, but you know, are they leading you toward God or away from God? Now, you don't be mean, and I wouldn't yell at them like that in the nose and the face, but the fact is, we've got to take this serious. This is God. Let me give you number five. I just kind of said it there. We are complete in Jesus. We are complete in Jesus. We do not need what the world has to make us complete. Do you realize people were complete long before there was indoor plumbing? Now, I'm glad I live in a dispensation of indoor plumbing. But people were complete in Jesus before indoor plumbing. They were complete in Jesus before central heat. Now, we're coming up in a season. I'm glad we have central heat. And the fact is, if we go home and there's no heat there, I'm not going to be happy. What's even worse, we've made ourselves so dependent upon, I don't even have a fireplace or something. We had to, I don't know, put some rocks in the middle of the living room, burn, make a fire. I don't know, we'll be in trouble because we're so dependent. But the fact is, people were complete in Jesus before they had all the things that we have. They were complete in Jesus when they were setting up pioneers out there in the Midwest. We think, well, if I don't have all these trinkets, I'm not complete. Look at verse 10. And ye are complete in Him which is the head of all principality and power. That word complete is the same word as fullness we had a little earlier. So as Jesus has all of God in Him, we have all of God in us. He is the head of all principalities, higher powers, the power, the authority, and privilege. Jesus is King of all kings and Lord over all lords, which means that in us dwells the King of kings and the Lord of lords, and we have nothing and no one to fear. I have the Lord. Why should I fear what man can do unto me? I'll tell you what happens. We forget that we're complete in Him. And when the problems come up, we take our eyes off of Him and we start looking at the problem. And before long, we start running away from the problem, even though we're running away from the Lord at the same time. You see what I'm saying? We go off in some dark line, some darkness, and He's not going to walk there. You're complete in Him. Number six, We are no longer seen in our incomplete righteousness, but in the righteousness of God. Look at verse 11. In whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. In other words, we are set apart unto God by God. You're mine. By the way, that little lady there in the red blazer, she's mine. Keep your hands off of her. She's mine. You mess with her, you mess with me. You know what God's saying? They're my children. You mess with them, you mess with me. The problem is, sometimes God's children have come to God and said, give me all that I have and I'm going to go live my life by myself like Mr. Prodigal's son. And so the prodigal's not home. He's out in the muck and the mire. Daddy said, all right, I guess he's going to have to learn the hard way. But when he came, he says, duh, Dad's servants make more money than I do. They live a whole lot better than I am out here. I thought I was free, and I feel like I'm chained. I thought the world was going to set me free, but what it did, it took everything I had. It sucked all the life out of me. I'm going back to Daddy. And Daddy said, well, come on. But Daddy, I don't even... Put a new robe on him. He's kind of stinks. And let's put a ring on his finger. Let's kill the fatted calf. My son was dead. He's alive. Number 7, we are now in Christ. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. Since we are in Christ and Christ is risen from the grave, then we are seen as risen from the grave. We have eternal life. Number 8, we're forgiven. Look at verse 13. We're forgiven. And you being dead in your sins and uncircumcision in your flesh, and he quickened together with him, hath forgiven you all trespasses. Have you ever really messed up? And maybe, you know, maybe you've never really experienced it, but really messed up, and the person just up forgave you and went on and treated you as if nothing ever happened. It says here, he's forgiven our trespasses and he's blotted out the hand. All that list of sins, they're gone. Blotted out the handwriting. Blotted out those things, the ordinance that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it all out of the way and nailed them to the cross. Now, wait a minute. Where did I start? As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Don't allow the world to steal your joy. Don't allow the world to steal your thankfulness, your gratitude. I'm going to pick on my son-in-law. Come up here, Steve. He doesn't like this, I know. I'm going to put you out here so that they can see you over here. I don't want to put you too, because I'm going to put you right here, not because I don't want you over here by me, but all right. Now, wait a minute. Watch this. You ready? When you hold these, I want you to hold them right in front of your chest so they can see them, all right? All right, here we go. Hold this in front of your chest. Look out that way. You just keep going that way. You have Jesus. Are you thankful? You're not Jesus. No, you have Jesus in you. You're thankful. Now, wait a minute. When you have, you say, well, I got Jesus. Well, turn around. When you get Jesus, you get some other thing. You can't read that, but he that hath the Son hath eternal life. He has, because he has Jesus, he has freedom from hell. Because he has Jesus, he has freedom from the chains of sin if he'll take that freedom. He has a heavenly Father. He can cry, Abba, Father. They can come unto him and say, Daddy, give me this day our daily bread. Because he has Jesus, he has a home in heaven. Have you figured out what it's going to look like yet? Yeah. I've always wanted one of those houses with one of those turrets on there. You know, they have some down here in town. I don't know, you know what I'm talking about? One of those towers on the side. I don't know why. I always thought that was kind of cool. Maybe he'll let me have one of those. But, okay, if you have Jesus, you have great and precious promises. We don't have to be barren and unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord. Because we have Jesus, we have access to all the riches in heaven. There's a security in that. Are you thankful so far? Getting more thankful all the time, aren't you? Yeah. We have the power of the Holy Spirit, and we have Jesus. We have Jesus. That's a wonderful thing. He has Jesus. You grateful? Good. Tell you what else I'm going to do. And I did. I gave you a great job. God gave you a great job. He's our school administrator. Anyway, He got a great job. So you have Jesus and you have a great job. Are you thankful? You won't be able to do that with all of them because you're getting a whole bunch of things here. So you have Jesus, but right now your mind's kind of focused on a great job. But anyway, you got to have a great job. You thankful? That's good. All right. Wonderful. This. I don't know. Okay. Wait. You got. My boss isn't. Your boss isn't a great. You might not have a great job very long. Lord's going to give you a new car. I took care of that too. Didn't I? No one knew with it. But new car. You thankful? This is good stuff. All right. Amen. Are you thankful? Man, this is great. This is thankful. All right. Okay. We're gonna give you a nice house. Got a nice house. You thankful? This is good stuff. All right. This is great. This is really good stuff here. Good. Nice house. Good friends. It's so good to have good friends. You know, have somebody you can talk to, and God gives you a blessing. It's a wonderful thing. Are you grateful? Thankful. Good friends. Great spouse. I gave you that too. She's my daughter. Great spouse. You got a great spouse. Life is good. And you're thankful. Good. And Lord's given you good health. Isn't that wonderful? You're thankful? Thankful? Yeah. You got Jesus, don't you? You get all these wonderful things. Yeah. But you don't have a great job anymore. Are you thankful? Why are you thankful? You still have Jesus. All right. Well, wait. We're going back this way. We took the car to Walmart, and it got beat 15 different directions, and all from all the places. It doesn't seem like a new car. In fact, tell you the truth, they hauled it off, and you got to come up with $2,500 deductible to get yourself into some kind of car to get you around. Are you thankful? Where I'm headed, aren't you? Used to have a nice house. And then you had kids. That's right. Yeah, you used to have a nice house and you had kids. Don't talk about my grandkids that way. Used to have a nice house and something happened and, you know, we went bankrupt. Whatever it was, we lost the house. Maybe it was a fire. We lost the house. Are you thankful? Well, how in the world can you be thankful? You still have Jesus. Wait a minute. Everybody seems to have turned their back on me. It wasn't my fault. I don't know what they're doing, but they're turning. They're forsaking me. But there's one friend that sticks closer than a brother, and his name is. Oh, we're coming down to here, aren't we? Oh, great spouse. I don't know what I'd do without her. But I'd be in bigger trouble if I didn't have Jesus. That'd be hard. Still thankful. And there comes a day for all of us somewhere usually. Well, that's not there either. But are you thankful? Why? You got a whole list of things back here. These things are eternity. Turn it back around. I got one more thing I want to give you. You ready? Tribulations. You still thankful? Still have Jesus. But you know what Paul said? He says, I glory also in my tribulations, because tribulations, when I get tribulations, it works my patience. Makes me wait on God. Makes me see Him work. And over the time I see Him work, the patience brings experience. Been down this road before. And the next time the tribulation comes, I'm ready. Even though I don't understand it, I don't like it. First of all, I'm going to be grateful because I have Jesus. But the tribulation worketh my patience, and patience experience. And experience, if I let God take care of it, brings hope. And hope makes not ashamed. I'm not a pouting, wandering around with my tail between my legs. God's still in control, and He's in me. And He will never leave me nor forsake me. And if all else fails, all I lose is this temporal world, and I get a mansion in glory. That's just as real as us sitting here this morning. Thank you, sir. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, thank You for speaking to our hearts here this morning. Thank You that we can have gratitude. We have something to be thankful for. Even when we don't have anything the world says we should have, we have Jesus, we have it all, we're complete in Him. Heads are bowed.